Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. Talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
saved his money, hamstrung skinny from eating wrong. But he ain't spent it on rye whiskey, but a baby, I'm told. He always spoke of all the beauty little Willie took from his mom. So he saved them every penny that he broke his back just to earn, until one day he was so unlucky that mine came in on his door. I called his name so loud and heavy, once unburied he was gone. I write you now to tell the story of how he loved.
I mean, this is a Sunday. We got beautiful music. We got Micheladas.
We got Daniel King coming on live later. Song. Very, very nice.
Ooh, that was
Can we shout out to the two other singers on that song?
Langdon Graves and John Atzberger. Oh, John.
Yeah. Poor Little Willie. Great.
Poor Little
great
Willie.
Song. Off the new?
Yeah,
new?
Very. The new.
Oh, is it that new? It's not that old.
It's new. And we're going to hear songs from Lucky Enough later on live in the show.
Aren't we lucky enough?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Show, yeah.
Told you, bring your pun game, my friend.
He already dusted it off. He had his pun spotter on early. Early on. Shout out to Nika from The Drink.
Shout out to The Drink. Shout out to Adam. Oh, shout out to their...
Nika and Adam at The Drink.
You know, they bought a barrel
and Julius.
They bought a barrel of bourbon.
I tried some last time I was there, and it's delicious.
It's delicious. I saw them while we nursed it.
Shout out to Ben and Maggie. Congratulations.
Wedding. Yeah.
They fell asleep and like Adam had one arm around Nika and one arm around the bottle.
Yeah. Very cute. Yeah, we took a few weeks off after celebrating episode 200. And if you want to head over to the Heritage Radio Network SoundCloud page, Snacky Tunes Live Volume 5 is up now.
Volume 5.
Shout it out. And a lot of shout outs.
Shout out.
I'm Darren Bresnich.
End of summer shout outs. I'm Greg Bresnich. Just listening to Snacky Tunes if you haven't figured that out yet. But up first,
Gorilla Hot.
I thought we were going to talk about brackish.
Oh, we're going to talk about brackish stuff? Oh, no. We have Gorilla Condiment Company in the house. Welcome.
Thank you. Hola.
Thank you.
I feel like we have been running in similar circles and seeing each other for so long.
It is true.
And it was always like a, hey, what's up? But I don't think we ever like got introduced until... I guess I want to say the Momofuku Brooklyn Brewery dinner a few weeks ago.
Yeah, the Kaizen dinner whatever 2 months ago. That long ago, I know.
I felt like I was on a blind date with you.
Yeah, because I came in, I was texting Andrew, and it was at the new, what's the name? Humboldt and Jackson. Humboldt and Jackson, which is a great spot, which is sort of a pop-up restaurant, but also a cheese bar.
Yeah, it's like a bar, tasting room, event space,
it's
communal
great.
Kitchen craziness.
It's great. Needs a HVAC system, but short of that. But I can't
always like the last thing that comes in though.
That's always what's grandfathered in.
Yeah,
so they barely work as it is.
And are they the first thing to get cut? It's like people don't need. They'll be fine. They'll know. They know.
It's only smoke.
Yeah,
everybody loves smoke.
But no, I came in late and I got to sit at the bar and I met Jess and it was we were just talking and just it's always great. You know, whenever you sit at the bar for those types of events, you're like, all right, well, there's three people here who don't seem like they, like, walked in at the last moment. So who are you and how did you score these seats? And it worked out well. And then you started telling me about the hot sauce that you guys made.
Yeah.
Which is delicious. But let's go all the way back of getting... So you two are together.
We are. We're a thing.
You're a thing. Are you
so back off, listeners?
Yeah, back off.
Yeah.
Are you? Would you consider yourself like a condiment power couple?
I think that's a great way to describe us. Actually, the power couple of condiments.
Yeah.
Partners in both business and life.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
And pleasure.
Ooh. Oh. Well, isn't that one and the same?
Yeah.
That word just comes better out of her.
Yeah.
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 Wait, can we hear you say it?
Pleasure.
No.
Oh.
Pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
How did you two meet?
Well, Brendan was a chef at my favorite restaurant in Denver.
Which was?
Studio City, okay. Which was all vegetarian, vegan awesomeness.
Were you a ski bunny?
I actually was head designer for a snowboard company out there for 5 years, so I guess you could say that. But he never remembered my name, and I was helping out a friend with a food event, because I did a little private chefing on the side as well. And I was just being a smartass, and I finally got his attention.
How?
I just said hi.
Have you seen her eyes?
That. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes.
And I gave him shit about never remembering my name.
How long did it take for you to remember her name?
I remember her name the first time, according to me. So I don't know how long that was.
I would say probably about 6 months.
Oh, that's good. That's fair. That is fine.
So how did you go from lovers in Denver?
Did you cook for her on your first date, or did you go out to eat?
Oh, we went out to eat. Lovely, lovely dinner. Beautiful spot. Sat at the bar. Ate everything. Then I took her for skee ball.
Oh, is that a euphemism?
Whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
It could be.
Okay. Well, leave that from, one up. Now can I ask my question?
No. What was the first thing that you cooked her?
I made him dinner the first time because I hated his udon noodle bowl. I wanted to show him how it was made.
Oh. Do you guys need the room?
Dang.
Okay, Greg, now ask your question.
Oh, okay. So how did you go from how did you go from Denver to making condiments? Or how did that
What brought
begin?
You out to New York?
Well... So the condiment thing for me started when I was in Denver, working at that restaurant, Studio City. Made all the condiments there, hot sauce, ketchup, every dressing. I mean, I just fell in love with condiments, did my own jamming, pickling, the whole thing. So started that out there, and then she decided that she needed to be in New York. So I followed her out here with no real plan, other than to just be out here with her and, you know, be with my girl and be in love.
How long ago was this?
A year, I think. Actually, a year, like today, even like this weekend.
And when did you start doing condiments? When did you get started interested in that?
That was at the old space.
No,
in Denver.
But how many years ago? I mean, was it like a lifelong thing? Like,
I mean, I would say 4 or 5 years ago is when I really started getting interested into it pretty hardcore, making a lot of hot sauce, doing different things.
Are there any mass-produced condiments? I mean, you know. Like Hellman's or Heinz that you're like, I get what they're doing?
Well, for me, when I started making ketchup, I told myself that I'd never serve my ketchup until it was better than Heinz, because they've been doing it for like 100 years. So.
And? Is it now better than Heinz?
Oh, absolutely.
He's serving it, isn't he? Are you not paying attention to the story? No, you sure? That story definitely had like a beginning, middle, and end. I question your commitment to snacky too.
Go fuck yourself. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. I like that. No high, you know, mine doesn't have high fructose corn syrup and, you know, dead babies. But as far as other broadband labels, you know, we talk about Tabasco all the time, and if we could someday be the new Tabasco family, I'd be really stoked on that.
You know, every time I read about, there was actually another article recently in the Times about Tabasco. I don't know why they don't push how artisanal it is. I mean, it's really an insane process. Like
the process is nuts.
It's aged 3 years in barrels. Yep. It's just like this whole thing, and maybe because they don't have to, but I feel like if any product came out now that was doing what they were doing, that would be like that's the lead.
Absolutely.
But they bury it.
And to self-promote a little more, that's what we're trying to be.
Anyway, so enough about but I mean, Tabasco is like, I mean, it's crazy.
It's giant. I mean, I bet they sell just as many ties these days as they do bottles of hot sauce.
Oh, you mean for like weddings and stuff?
Yeah, you know, Tabasco ties, pants, and underwear.
Honey, this is a formal affair. Please wear your Tabasco. So you're into hot sauce, and you go, all right, I'm getting in the game. Skin in the game. Pepper skin in the game. When did it shift from going, like, I'm making this for the restaurant to going, we're going to do this?
Well, for me, it was something I always did, but as a chef, it's hard to kind of get that business mind about it and find the time to do the things that are necessary to have a business. So, you know, when it was the two of us being, you know, the power couple, as you said, she kind of really helped out and, you know, brought a vision to, you know, my ideas and actually, materialized what I had always hoped would be, you know, the condiment company.
Is that where the design comes from?
Well, she's the designer. The logo itself was a self-portrait I drew of myself a handful of years ago.
Wow. On acid. Yes. In the dark.
And then I carved it out as a stamp on linoleum. So the original bottles were actually hand-rolled on a linoleum block. And Jess, being the awesome designer she is, formulated an actual paper label because hand-rolling hundreds of bottles would be exhausting.
Well, they're actually not paper, but they definitely look like it. I have a close friend in Denver that makes labels, so he's hooked it up. Ink monster.
Self-portrait?
You don't see it? Big Red Gorilla?
I don't. Yeah. All right. No, I get it.
Oh, Darren, it's in the style of self-hatred.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Isn't all art?
Yeah.
Let's play a song.
All right, we'll play a song, and then I want to come back, because I want to actually talk about... what you can do with it, because these mini enchiladas are awesome, and I threw it on some fried chicken the other day, and I want to talk about cooking, I want to talk about the future, I want to talk about where you can get it. Can you get it in stores?
Yeah, there is a couple. We're at Marlowe, Gourmet Guild, Greenpoint Cheese and Meat.
Oh, yeah. That place is great.
Greenpoint?
Yeah. They have awesome. This, like, farmer's cheese that, like, reminiscent of what our grandmother used to service when we were young in Brooklyn. It was great.
Yeah.
Good story.
It's a nice little small store. I like it.
Yeah. So we're here with the Gorilla Condiment Company, and interesting choice for a name.
Yes.
And it's not gorilla like the animal, but more like gorilla fighting tactics.
The warfare. Or warfare. The marketing, depending on what aggressiveness you're taking, whatever stance you're taking.
What is your stance on aggressiveness for this?
Really, the idea behind Gorilla was to create a company that was in our control, something that we build and we are responsible and in charge of the growth or the lack of, you know, the success or failure of the company. And with all the regulations and the stipulations that it takes to have a business these days, especially a food business, and with the giant, you know, companies that are in the game, we really wanted to be, you know, for lack of a better term, a micro business, because I really do feel like the future of small business is that idea of, you know, micro, and the smaller it is, the better. So really it is kind of a, I don't know, it is a stance, and we want to use it as something to grow on and to hopefully become more and more involved in, you know, the economic and economic environment of our surroundings.
How do you guys do, or how did you establish, like, the way you do production? Are you, you're based here, right? In Brooklyn?
Yeah, we actually are making our sauce out of Humboldt and Jackson, which we were talking earlier.
Shout out.
Working in their kitchen, super small batch. Like, that's what we were doing before we got
it's
here today.
Super small.
Literally, we did 5 gallons of sauce today. 5 gallons of red, 5 gallons of green, and that's giant for us.
How many bottles is that?
Like 8 cases of each.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's super small batch, handmade, hand bottled, hand labeled. It's the two of us doing the whole thing from beginning to end.
But at some point, I mean, do you feel that, like, when you're going to get to a level where you have to either employ more people or get a little bit more automated, right?
Absolutely. But like I said, I really want to keep that in my control. And,
yeah,
it, you know, it's not that I necessarily have anything against people who co-pack their products, but I'd rather become my own co-packer than kind of...
What's,
you know,
co-packing?
Give up that. Co-packing is where you send off your recipe, send off your product to somebody else to have them make it and bottle it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if you're a small business, there's nothing wrong with it. But for me, when I look at our company, you know, it's something that I would rather be in more control. And I have a control issue, so I need to be involved in it.
I have control issues, but that usually around whiskey.
Well, that's lack thereof.
So, you know, you cook a lot, and I came to that event with you. Do you do any events with the hot sauce or any branded events?
A bit. We really are trying to make a push for Gorilla right now. Probably the biggest thing we have coming up right now is we're doing a golf outing.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like an industry drunk fest at a golf course.
Go on.
We make micheladas.
These are delicious.
Yeah.
Well, they are. You know, I feel like when you serve someone michelada in the middle of their binge drinking session, it slows them down just enough that they stay alive, you know, and you got some nutrients and some spice in there to keep your heart beating.
Yeah. Get that here. What music do you listen to when you're making hot sauce?
What do we got?
What's the soundtrack?
Brendan loves to jam out to some hip hop.
Okay.
So he, like, gets his wigger roots in. It's kind of hilarious.
Oh.
You know, old school, new school. It can be anything from Wu-Tang to, you know, embarrassing stuff that we're not going to mention on air.
Oh, really? Come on. Just one.
I mean, there might be a Drake track or two.
That's fine.
On my Spotify, and I will dance to it. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But I'm just going to tell you I only listen to The Roots and A Tribe Called Quest. How about that?
Okay.
We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, we'll have Liz edit that out. You actually don't have to worry about, because no one listens to this show.
So exactly. No, you know, I figured, you know, listening
to our parents know.
So the micheladas are awesome, but do you ever use it for savory cooking? I mean, I know that I put it on top of, shout out to Birds and Bubble, which is Sarah's new place. I had some leftovers and I threw the green on there and it was fantastic. But do you ever use it as, like, what would you replace it as?
I mean, I would replace anywhere you're going to use sriracha or anything like that. Yeah. You know, I think that that's the place to do it. I mean, you could, you know, use it to make all kinds of snacks in the oven. You know, like, everybody's into sriracha corn nuts, sriracha chips, sriracha whatever. So I would definitely use it in those applications. Also, I mean, you could make really banging peanut sauce with it instead of putting some hot sauce or sambal in there. You could, you know, do all kinds of stuff.
And then the more typical applications that it was made for. The reason I want to make hot sauce is the reason I love hot sauce. Breakfast.
Okay, I'm with you.
Tacos.
I know those.
Noodle bowls.
I'm familiar.
Who's making the noodles? Which one of you two?
You've learned. You know, you've learned.
That'll be an ongoing battle, yeah, for sure.
I would say that I take care of the Asian noodles. He takes care of the Italian noodles. I can't top him on that.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay. Hey.
Hey,
noodle
that's,
couple.
That's what it means to be a couple.
Yeah.
Compromise.
And they noodle.
Yeah.
A little hot rod.
Oh, there it is.
Oh.
There it is.
I'm here.
That's a little bit of a preview from Daniel King of what's coming up in the next half of the show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A little hot broth coming out.
Noodling. Wow. All right.
Yeah. Right. So you said where you can get in the stores. Which restaurants are carrying this?
Oh, right now we're at Meadow Suite over in South Williamsburg. Humboldt and Jackson has it at their bar in Williamsburg. The Tradesman on Bushwick Avenue.
Oh,
do
nice.
We have any new accounts? Where?
We have some soon to be.
Soon, oh, Black Market over in the city is going to be our first Manhattan account.
Punching into Manhattan.
Yeah, my good friend's the GM at those spots over there, so that was kind of my in there, and I was like, you have oysters, serve hot sauce.
Yeah, come on.
Fucking you already have the vessel.
Oh, that's another thing I need it on all the time is oysters.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be at BOE on the 19th for Oyster Happy Hour, actually.
Okay.
Promoting our brand, and they're going to hopefully start selling it there as well. So
all right.
Come see us.
Serious question. The hot sauce game is very dense and, you know, crowded. I feel like everybody who wants to make a food product who's a celebrity makes a hot sauce. A lot of metal guys, a lot of rock and rollers. How do you cut through the noise?
For us, it's about branding and quality. I think the first thing you notice when you look at our bottle is it's not a dude with like flames flying out of his ass.
Which I think is a miss, but that's just me. That's just me.
You know, like we kind of, you know, I feel everybody takes like the ass burning, you know, poop stinging, you know, they go in that direction. I guess you'd say we classed it up a bit maybe, but in the branding there to do, you know, to focus on that. And then also the quality of our product. And like I was saying, just kind of keeping the control in our hands and doing everything ourselves and really not looking to, you know, slow and steady and take over the world in a few years, not trying to conquer it tomorrow.
Hey, man, I hear you. Slow and steady.
Yeah.
So next up is Taint Sweatin' Purple Hot Sauce.
Ooh, purple. Taint.
Yeah.
Purple taint.
Yeah. What? No. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to go on that riff for a while. All right. So you guys are all up on the social media. Why don't you shout it out? Why don't you spell it out, too? Because
you got social. You're better at spelling.
Oh, it's Gorilla, Gurilla, Condiment Co.
Wait, and one R or two R's?
Two R's.
Two R's.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you aren't the best
maybe
at spelling.
I'm not.
Here, maybe, yeah.
Gurilla _ condiment _co. That's our Instagram handle.
Co.
Yes.
Awesome. Instagram and then the website where you can order it, right?
Website's not quite up, but soon will be up, and that's just gorillacondimentco.com.
I thought I said you could order it online. Bottle at a time?
I don't think so.
I don't really have that up and running yet. It's kind of a sham.
That's kind of,
like, if you click on it, you'll just be disappointed, so don't click on it yet. It's all under construction.
Well, look,
it's our version of our Kickstarter, where we just take your money and don't send you anything.
Did you guys do a Kickstarter?
We're talking about it. We have some friends that, you know, are videographers and maybe doing something cool like that, but we've been too busy trying to make money in hot sauce to really think about Kickstarter, so.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, you guys going to stick around and eat some pizza with us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, what do you got next, GB?
So, record release party on Friday night with our boys from Lemonade.
Lemonade!
Who will be live on Snacky Tunes in November, December.
Oh, really?
Back from the road. Yep.
Awesome. They're going on tour with Yelly for like 23 dates.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It takes it back.
I know. What was her song again?
It's French, so obviously I can't pronounce
it. I thought you knew French.
No, I don't.
Are you sure?
You turn me up. goddamn, I got pizza in my mouth.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not my fault.
Yeah, it's good. That new album is good. If you like good music, like good times, this hot sauce is so good on this pizza.
Daniel, I feel like we already welcomed you. So let's just get right into it.
No. Yeah. Let's welcome. Give him proper welcome. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Yeah, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Says the guy with pizza in his mouth.
No, it's gone. Okay. It's on its way out. It started.
So we met through our friend Nika.
Yeah, Nika at the drink.
Yeah, because you just had your record release, right?
I did. Yeah.
Let's talk about the record. Let's talk about a little history of Daniel King.
Sure.
Where does it start? Cold night?
Cold night?
Mm.
Yeah.
There's probably a few cold nights in there. It starts in Long Island, actually, which is kind of weird.
So you're 12, listening to Billy Joel. I'm with you so far.
Absolutely. Okay. Younger than that, listening to Billy Joel. A friend of mine actually just asked me last week, is it required of you to like Billy Joel, being from Long Island? And I said, required? No, but why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
It's the best.
What's your favorite track?
That Miami song?
Mm. Yeah.
That one is so... That one's good. Or Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. Can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
No. I used to eat at that restaurant all the time.
Best hour of podcast is Alec Baldwin, Billy Joel on his show.
I've never listened to it.
Do yourself a favor.
I'll send it to you.
Turn off this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go listen to it.
Anyway. So Long Island, Billy Joel.
Long Island, yeah. I didn't make it very far. I moved to the city. I went to Brooklyn College. Didn't think I really ever wanted to make music, and then just had this itch all of a sudden and started playing. And this is my second record, lucky enough.
Where did the itch come from? Or how did the itch begin to
get? I have no idea. I moved here with a kid I grew up skateboarding with. And we just wanted to skate. We just wanted to do that. And I brought my guitar, always played it. And we just started writing silly songs. And then one day I sat down and tried to write a serious song. And came out sort of serious.
Sort of serious?
Yeah. Then just started progressing into I'm going to go play a show and go to this open mic, and I've met so many amazing people. Spike Hill, Gustavo Rodriguez has helped me so much booking shows all over the city.
Where was your what was your first open mic experience?
Well, I had already been playing full sets before I played an open mic, so that was kind of interesting. Going from having 45 minutes or an hour on stage versus one or two songs, and that was an interesting change, and I found that I would get more nervous at an open mic than I would get playing a full set.
I always kind of felt like open, like when Darren and I first moved here and we were starting DJing, like I was like trying to figure out how we could DJ more, and they were like, open hour sets, like bring your records.
No, bring your iPod.
Oh yeah, bring your iPod. Well, it was early days then, so still. But I was like, fuck it. Well, let's just throw our own parties, because that seems...
Yeah, do you feel like it's like a counterproductive thing? Or
a little bit.
I had that notion, but then I quickly realized that my peers at the open mic all are amazing musicians. And they've helped me grow, and I hope I've helped them grow. And that's how I've met the majority of my friends here is... through open mics.
So you're saying that, I mean it's very easy for me to stand corrected, but so like what is the, I mean it's fine, I make a mistake or two.
You're not wrong in thinking that.
Yeah, but I mean so like what is the actual community around open mics?
I go to Spike Hill every Tuesday still, pretty much. Spike Hill has a Tuesday night open mic from 7 to 9 hosted by Gustavo Rodriguez, and he's just a great guy. He books for venues all over, and he'll watch you, and when he thinks that you're ready, he'll give you a show, and that's
there,
a great way
is there
to,
a nod or a tap or some sort of movement that you look for? He's like you know, like a nod and a wink, like you got this.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Gustavo gave me the nod wink tonight.
Yeah,
big things are happening.
Yeah, he means business when you meet him, and then when you crack the shell, he's a real sweetheart.
Let's hear a song. Hold on a second. I want to ask one more question. I just want to ask a question about Gustavo.
Sure.
Is it like when you make it, like Gustavo would like you to have a drink with him after the show tonight?
Exactly like that.
Is it really? Yes. Yes. Amazing. Does he have like a booth in Spike Hill and it's like, will you join?
He has a little hat. He takes his hat off and, you know.
Oh my god.
Take me through. So it's like I've been playing Tuesday nights for like 2 years. I finally wrote a good 10 minutes. What happens?
He'll say, "Hey, I have an opening. Do you have any interest in playing at playing a Tuesday night here after the open mic, full set?" And
pours you a drink.
For me, it's always a Yingling while I'm there, and he knows me for it.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, Pottsville, right?
Pottsville, yeah.
Pottsville, PA. I drink a lot of those, and it's just a good environment. If anyone out there listening is interested in playing music, and you live around here, Spike Hill Open Mic, Tuesday nights.
Okay, all right. Is there any way... Well, we can do two things. One, song off of Lucky Enough, which would seem apropos. Sure. Or the first half-serious song you wrote.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just to give it context.
I don't even know what the first half-serious song I wrote
That makes
be.
An easy decision, doesn't it?
We'll stick with the Lucky Enough.
Okay, let's hear off the new record.
All right.
Which one is this?
I'm going to play Daniel's Dream. Search high and low to the bottom of my soul until I find my better half. Tomorrow I'll go, I'll leave till I know that there is a house worth coming home to. And there is a face that waits in this place and answers only to my calling. And I wake each day with an angel next to me, floating on a cloud made of heaven. With a gift each day, my legs walk free, but there's nowhere I want to walk to. With a touch of love and a kiss filled with sin, there's nothing in this world that's worth seeing. And I'll drink too hard, my blood gets thin. I'm held in the arms of Lord's mercy. And I'll curse like a storm in the whistling wind. Raindrops are the only things falling. Thank you.
nice. I mean, I know part of me wishes I had also booked you to come on in like December or January.
Is it wintertime music?
It's kind of, well, it's, I don't, yeah. Yes, it's wintertime music, but in like in the best way possible, where like that, a bottle of whiskey, like a bunch of stories, maybe some cigarettes, what, even though I don't really smoke whiskey.
It does that.
You know, a little hot whiskey, cask strength whiskey, if you will. Let's.
I don't even know what that is.
Cask, so whiskey is distilled, diluted down to 40%.
You've tried to tell me this
before. Yeah, so it's diluted down to 40%, but cask strength is what they pull out before they dilute it. So you can get some, like Redbreast will make a cask strength. It's, I mean, it's just, it's fire. It's like a higher proof whiskey. So, you know, take that for what you will.
Ugh.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. But it's called hot whiskey.
Was that okay. The sound of your hangover?
Yeah, that was the sound of my body going like, dude, come on.
Yeah, and you can pay top dollar for this. But let's talk about your instrument and your amp for a second, because sure. A, it sounds great, and B, it looks kind of old.
Oh yeah, so this thing's old. This is a Harmony from 1965. It was an acoustic originally, and I put an old DeArmond pickup on it. And I have an old Silvertone amp from 1958.
How did they come into your life?
They're actually becoming increasingly more sought after. Mm. They made a pretty decent guitar, and they make really good electric guitars, or made really good electric guitars. These pickups are really sought after, and have been for a while. I found this guitar for $100. I needed some work. I did the work. I put this pickup on there. I found the amp for $200. It's pretty good.
You said it was Sears?
Yeah. Harmony K, Silvertone, they all sold out of Sears Roebuck.
Sears used to sell everything.
Yeah, they really did. You could buy a house.
You could buy a house. Yeah. No, yeah.
Prefab you really
house.
Could.
Oh, okay.
You could.
One that you like.
You'd have to put it.
Like a Levittown type house.
No, sure. Yeah. Is that a Long Island? What are you trying to say here?
No, Levittown is Pennsylvania.
Well, hey. Well,
thanks for being
Long
on
Island
Snacky
too.
Tunes. Get the fuck out of here.
No, you could buy a prefab house and put it together.
Yep.
It's
like
crazy.
Pre-IKEA?
Yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, they still sell prefab houses.
Do they come with
sure.
a little
I just don't think you can mail order them anymore. It was better than IKEA. That's for sure.
Sears.
Yeah.
America Sears. Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you got past, I mean, do you still do open mic?
I do. I go every week.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you like went to like, well, like this is a new generation, or you went and you still participate.
I still go. I've met my. I play in an old time band as well. We call it Americanta. That's
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got you.
No, yeah, that's good.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Or you? Subrural. Those are some O John jokes. That
yeah.
I adopted. I met my bandmates John and Lizzie. They're a happily married couple. I met them playing in an open mic, and we play together all the time.
And, I mean, where do you frequent besides this? Like, where are the gigs that are, you know?
Where are you gigging?
Really, I like playing at the Drink. That's my favorite place to play. I feel like it's an extension of my living room.
I mean, they built it right.
They did. I like playing there. I really like playing Brooklyn Rod and Gun, which is...
I don't think I know it.
It's not... It's really a Rod and Gun club.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's over on Kent. Yeah.
You've walked past it. It's the place on Kent... That looks like just, it's like next to the garden area.
It's a little unkempt.
Oh, that place. Oh, that's yeah. just like, it's like a doorway yeah. and it kind of spills out.
Yeah, they have okay. like one type of beer, one type
like
of whiskey.
Grill.
Wait, you
like
said
a
it's called,
membership, right?
Sorry, it's called yeah. Rod and Gun?
Brooklyn Rod and Gun, yeah.
Is Rod and Gun a thing?
Rod. Not
rod. Rod, like oh, a fishing rod.
Got it.
And a gun.
Got it.
Rotten gun.
Well, I didn't know. It's like, you said it's like a real rod and gun thing.
Yeah,
like
just leave the gun in a jar of mayonnaise for like a couple of months. Rotten gun.
Yeah, I like playing there. I like these smaller places where maybe you're not... It's not a music venue, per se.
That place feels, like, pretty loose.
It's really... That's the way I prefer it. I've yeah. played bigger shows. I like playing Grand Victory.
Yeah.
There's great sound over there. The guy, Ryan Jones, who does sound over there, is a real professional. And it's good it's good to work with him. I like working with him a lot.
Why don't we get another song in there?
Sure. Maybe I'll play an old time song.
Okay. Oh yeah. Sound great.
Americant?
Americanta.
Canta.
Americanta.
Keep up, Darren. Keep up.
I'm here. What's the name of the song?
This song is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. You might have heard Patsy Cline sing it before, or A lot of people. If you've ever seen the movie Cool Hand Luke, it's in there. Harry Dean Stanton sings it in there. Let's get a little bit more volume there. Get a little crunch.
So you're telling us earlier that raised Irish American.
Yeah.
No real heat in that subset.
No, I was raised on meat and potatoes, and I find that that's what I crave still.
Yeah. Any particular type of meat in those meat and potatoes?
It doesn't matter.
boiled.
But very specific about the potatoes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I like, I don't know. My mom makes a meat and meatloaf. Pretty mean meatloaf.
You know, I've had meatloaf like maybe once in my life.
Really? I've had some incredible meatloaf.
It's never really come up in my
You ever go to Peter's on Bedford Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah. They make meatloaf there.
They do good meatloaf.
Try the meatloaf.
Really?
It's all about the crust.
Yeah. That one has like mushrooms on it.
It's good. It's one of those dishes where when you have really good meatloaf, you go, oh, right, this is why this dish got so popular. But most of the time, you just eat the garbage shit.
Yeah. But even that's fine. I mean,
food shouldn't taste like cardboard, man.
No.
I don't know. Sometimes I want cardboard.
Hey, man, you put a little Gorilla like, hot sauce on there.
Is meatloaf like your pizza? You're like...
No, I probably eat it like once every 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Is pizza your pizza?
Pizza's definitely my pizza.
Yeah.
That's a good t-shirt.
Pizza is my homeboy.
My other pizza is a slice of pizza.
Yeah, my other pizza is a pizza.
The shirt is a Porsche.
So what do you got coming up? So Tuesday night, people know where to catch it with the open mic.
Yeah, I'm actually heading to Nashville tonight, so I won't be there this week.
You've got quite the trip planned.
Yeah, heading to Nashville, going to try to play some tunes.
It's like train to a car.
Train to a car to Virginia to, yeah.
To another car or to hitchhike?
No hitchhiking.
Jump the rails?
There's a car involved. Get there. I've never been there.
It's great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Go to Princess. Get some hot chicken. Well,
yeah.
I have a list of
don't get the hot chicken. Just get like the fried chicken.
I don't, I'm handling this just fine. I haven't really had it.
Yeah, but most hot sauces is not going to treat
you
as nice
as this. Well, you know, I tried to order the hot at Princess. You can get like, you know, not medium hot, really hot. I tried to order the hot and they wouldn't let me.
But you wouldn't have been able to eat it.
Well, that's my decision.
No.
There's a lot of places that do that. I've been to a lot of Thai restaurants that refuse to give me the hot.
Do you then pull out a bottle of, like, I make hot sauce for a living?
No, they're like, you have to have the medium.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with that.
But I mean, the hot okay is really hot.
Yeah.
I mean, what is your spice level intake?
I mean, I like spice, but there are times that I regret my decision.
I mean, when the last time we were at India Szechuan, that fish dish was angry. It was like mean.
There's that place.
It's like you got a dumb haircut and your face is stupid, and I'm going to punish you for making this awful, awful choice because you saw some other families eating it and you thought you could hang.
Well, sorry.
When the sweat starts pooling like directly under your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, it never stops.
So how badly are my eyes going to sweat when I eat this?
The eye sweat. That's the new thing for our bottle is the eye sweat level.
Just, is that what you guys call crying?
Yeah.
Boom! Holy shit. Well played.
Maybe she just put one tier.
One tier.
Maybe that's how it should be the level of different spiciness for your hot sauce. It's just like one tier, two tiers, three tiers.
And just tattoo it down the gorilla's face.
Yeah. Well, it would match your self-portrait because you do have 4 or 5 prison tier tattoos.
I do.
You can't see him, radio folks.
But you wear it well. So.
Yeah, you wear it well.
There's another place called Arnold's that is a James Beard Heritage site that like is known for its meat and threes, which seems to be quite of your culinary alley.
So it's meat and three sides.
From Third Man Records.
Okay,
so
make an afternoon of it.
I really love like soul food, and anything like that, and
soul food.
How long are you gonna be down there for?
A week.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
And then I come back and I come back. Late Sunday night, and I'm playing a show at Manhattan Inn.
I love that place.
With Tim Porbay and Ben Kronberg is the host. He's a great
Mr. Ben
funny
Kronberg,
man.
Huh?
Yes,
he's a friend of mine from Denver. We're both Denverites.
Look at this, 6 degrees,
full circle.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's someone I met by going to the Spike Hill open mic.
Oh yeah,
he goes every week.
Talent scouting.
He's not quite a talent scout. He's an amazing comedian.
I would love it if he and like Gustavo had like a rivalry. It's like you come here and you steal my talent.
You can go with Gus, or you can go with.
You come to my house.
Yeah,
you take my talent.
Kind of is like that. Actually.
Ben just kind of got his own hashtag from Roseanne Barr on.
Yeah, he was on Last Comic Standing,
and she said, "Go fuck yourself, Ben Kronberg." And that's his new mantra. Yeah.
Really?
It seems to be.
Did she mean it?
Oh, yeah. She meant it.
Yeah. What did he do? Can you just...
He has this one joke where he'll stand there for a few minutes and not say anything, and he'll look at his phone, and then just say, "What? You guys start working when you get to your jobs? Right away?" And it's funny when he does it. It's great, but she was like, "It looked like he wasted a lot of time up there," or whatever she said, and... it was stupid. He's great, and he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And I think it's been good for him to get that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Attention.
Oh, he turned. I mean, I guess she meant it as a negative thing, but he kind of turned it around. Plus, he's kind of the king of awkward. Like that's.
Oh yeah, he is.
The feeling that like the butterflies in your stomach when you watch his show is kind of what he's going for.
Oh man.
Okay. That's cool. I can't wait to crawl out of my skin when I see him. Like,
Seth Meyers just a few weeks after. Like, he's killing it.
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm happy to have him host. And Tim Porbay is another brilliant musician. And that's
that should be good.
That
show.
Back room at Manhattan Inn is just awesome.
Yeah, I've never played there. I've seen shows there, and it's cool.
You can do anything with the piano back there?
I mean, it's there.
No, I think I'm just going to play this thing and let it get crunchy just by myself.
Get crunchy at Manhattan Inn.
I want to make sure we have time to get one more song in, but Nuts and Bolts, where can people find you? Get the new record, all that stuff.
You can go to trailerfire.com.
It's on Angel Fire. It's hosted by that.
Yeah. Trailer Fire is the small label that helped me put this record out. I am so happy to be up there with those guys.
Where are they?
They're based out of New York, North Carolina, and Los Angeles.
Nice.
They're Take great. I'm happy to be a part of that. You can find me on Instagram at Daniel George King. I try to be good at that stuff.
How's your gram game?
It's punny.
Oh my God!
Can't wait.
Cannot wait.
All right. Well, Gorilla Condiment Co., thanks for coming on as well.
Our pleasure. Thank
Super
you.
Super pumped. Yeah, and we're back in the swing of it for the fall.
Yeah, we're not. We're here. So, for all of our friends who listen, if you guys want to hang out, we're just in the mix for the next few months.
I'm gonna go on record. I hate when you say that.
What do you mean?
That's it.
Deep in the mix. Shout out to Mom and Dad for listening, tuning in. And thanks for everyone getting in the mix with us today. We're so deep. We're so in it. I'm going to mix it up. You know what I mean?
This will be my last Snacky Tunes. It was really, you know, episode 201. Sometimes you just got no one to bow out.
First off, it's 202.
It's 202.
Oh. It's 202. And I was in the mix by myself last time, so that's maybe why you lost count.
Oh. So it's 201 for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
It's been a great 5 years.
Really? Right. Like that?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
I'm out of the mix.
Let's talk. Let's talk offline about this, and you can tell me what your pros and cons are of that statement.
Okay,
guys, thank you so much.
What's the last
thing you're gonna take us out with?
I'm gonna play Some Folks Sometimes. It's a song about how drinking can get you in trouble.
I was at a wedding last week. There were a lot of apologies on. It was a Saturday wedding with a Sunday apology.
Did I get too weird?
Cling their guns. Some stay up at night drinking. Others rise with the sun. Sometimes I'm the hammer. Other times the nail. I try and do right, but baby I've been known.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.